Hey, this is Matt Hawkins, and you're listening to the Top Cow Chronology Project.
Hello, welcome to the Comic Source Presents the Top Cow Chronology Project. I'm your co-host, Jace, letting you know that if you want to take a look at the chronology, give you an idea of what's coming up, you can go to our website, thecomicsourceblog.com, click on the Top Cow Chronology Project link, and if you look off to the right on that page, you'll see a Comic Vine logo. If you click on that, that'll take you to Condor's Top Cow Chronology on the Comic Vine website, and we want to thank him once again for putting that chronology together. While you're at our site, you might as well take a look around, check out Manny's blog, check out the YouTube videos of creator interviews and reviews I have. You can also take a look at our sketchbook. We should have some convention coverage up on there coming up pretty soon. Now I'm going to turn it over to my co-host Manny, and he's going to tell you about the creators that put together the issue that we're going to talk about on this episode. That's Lady Death and Medieval Witchblade.
That was written by Brian Agustin, Brian Pulido, and then it was penciled by Romano Molinar, inked by Curtis Arnold, and colored by Roy Young.
Yeah, so I don't actually know too much about Lady Death. I mean, she was everywhere in the 90s.
I know absolutely nothing about Lady Death.
You know, kind of, there was a lot of that going on in the 90s, what were called bad girl books. So very scantily clad, independent books, or I should say scantily clad women in independent comics. And Lady Death was a, you know, chief among them. You know, giant boobs and demons and what have you. So I will say, the first thing I'll say about this issue is the art is spectacular.
The art is really good.
You know, the cover that I have is Lady Death standing with her sword kind of planted in the ground in front of her. And then it has this medieval witchblade person who apparently is named Sarah kind of kneeling in front of her, and it's done by Mark Silvestri, and just you know, the detail and the costumes and the hair and the sword, everything is just done really, really, really well. So overall, I enjoyed the issue. I think, you know, part of it being that it's art that I really like, a lot of fine line work, a lot of detail, very good backgrounds. And so I think for that reason, especially coming off the medieval spawn Witchblade, medieval Witchblade, which where I felt the backgrounds were lacking, it was nice to have this polished book that looked, you know, completely finished. It wasn't rushed. So I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it too. I didn't like the background as much as you did. I don't know. It just seemed kind of foggy to me. Not much to it. I didn't really understand. Are they on another world?
Yeah, I think that they're not actually on Earth. That's what I took it. This villainous has, you know, created this darkness throughout the world. And so that's where the fog came from, and the dust and everything dry. And I felt it added to the mood. So I thought it was done well. Like I said, I don't really know much about Lady Death. They kind of gave, on the first few pages, kind of a real quick origin story for her. Apparently her father was some sort of sorcerer, and the other people in their village killed him, and they were going to burn her at the stake, assuming she was a sorceress, even though she was completely innocent. Apparently she'd learned just enough magic, or picked up just enough magic from being around her father, that she tried to use some to save herself and apparently got sucked into hell and somehow became acclimated to hell and was able to claim some power in hell, even to the point of killing Lucifer himself. But with Lucifer's dying breath, he cursed her to never be able to return to Earth. So apparently Lady Death's whole purpose for being is to try to find a way back to Earth. And so the issue starts out, she's approaching this planet, which apparently she can fly through space. So she's approaching this planet she thinks is Earth, although she says she doesn't remember Earth having such a, being such a world living in shadow with so much cosmic flotsam about it. So she descends and she sees all this decay. She says, what's going on? This clearly is not Earth. And she tries to return, use her powers to return to hell, but her powers apparently don't work on this world. Next, she sees all these mothers and pregnant women being marched to their death off the side of this cliff into this burning chasm by these knights. She tells them to stop, tries to use her powers. Again, they don't respond. This woman shows up in green, Queen Morrigan, says, who are you? And they have a short little battle. Morrigan feels that Lady Death's beneath her notice, tells her knights to dispatch of her. So one of the knights picks her up. He's about to throw her into the pit. She manages to have enough power to stop him, throws all the knights into the pit. And she does notice when she stabs him, there's no blood, just dust issues from the wounds. So she basically frees the women, asks what's happening. They say that Morrigan rules the world by darkness, and the prophecy says that a child of light's going to come and save them, so she kills all the children. That's why she was marching all these pregnant women to their death, and women holding small children. So she tells them that they're free to go. Then the scene switches to a temple where these monks are, and some woman who we know not much about, and they say, tell us why you're here, Sister Sarah. And she says, don't you feel it, brothers? There's a magic here that calls out to me. Something that has the power to end Morrigan's foul reign. And then the Death Knights attack. And in the process of running away from the Death Knights, Sarah comes across a statue wearing the Witchblade. She says, this is her destiny. She puts on the Witchblade. She fights off the Knights and leaves. As she runs into Lady Death, they fight at first and then realize that they're both after the same thing. They won't want to bring about the destruction of Morrigan. Meanwhile, Morrigan's in her castle and she's using her magical powers and she is watching Lady Death, and Sarah, this new wielder of the Witchblade, realizes that they're going to be a problem, and so she sets out to attack them. Meanwhile, the very tenuous peace that Sarah and Lady Death are enjoying is shattered when Lady Death strikes at Sarah, telling her that she shouldn't presume to know her or her thoughts. So while they're fighting, more Death Knights show up, and Morrigan appears, imprisons them, and marches them to a village where apparently the Child of Light supposedly was. This angers Lady Death and Sarah, and they manage to break free and destroy the Death Knights. Then they commandeer the Death Knights' horses, ride to Queen Morrigan's castle, dispatch more Death Knights, approach her in her throne room where she's holding the child, who supposedly is this Child of Light. However, there is a child off to the side. It's Queen Morrigan's stepdaughter, who was actually the daughter of the king of the world before Queen Morrigan took it over, who has golden hair. And right away, Sarah and Lady Death realize that, Morrigan, you're a fool. You were looking everywhere for that which was right next to you. And so the child that Morrigan has is actually just a child. So Morrigan says, Claire, to the young blonde-haired girl, come to mommy. And she says, you are not my mother. So Lady Death attacks Morrigan, while Sarah takes out the sorceress apprentice sidekick right-hand man of Queen Morrigan, kills her, and then Lady Death puts her hand on top of the Witchblade, and using the power of the Witchblade with her own, they fire at Queen Morrigan, who jumps out of the way, but this crystal, which had been the seat of her powers, destroyed, cracked open, and she's sucked into it, and then it explodes. Meanwhile, since Queen Morrigan is no more, all the knights collapse, and Claire, the young blonde-haired girl, says Morrigan is indeed gone, but there's still much work to do. And then, without explanation, Lady Death is transported back to hell, and it remains unchanged, and she still resolves to find a way back home to Earth. And we don't know any more of what happens to Claire or Sarah, the latest wielder of the Witchblade. So interesting that they called her Sarah, which is the name of the current wielder of the Witchblade, as we know it. But yeah, it was a pretty good story. I will say, though, that it's in a lot of these old stories you're reading of the Witchblade in the past, I wish there were a little more time to flesh out, okay, so why was the Witchblade where it was? Does it just kind of these people, these women are in terrible situations, you know, like she's on this terrible world. I mean, is it supposed to be Earth way back when, or, you know, I mean, does the Witchblade travel to other dimensions? Is it able to travel to other planets? Or was this Earth? Does it just show up when it's needed?
Well, from what we learned in Medieval Spawn, Witchblade, one heroine per generation wields a Witchblade.
Right, but it just shows up.
Yeah, and it does show up in different parts of the world and now different Earths. So yeah, that's a really good question. Because, you know,
I mean, those monks, she said she was looking for a weapon or, you know, she felt some kind of magical something. Those monks lived there in that temple. Seems like they would have been like, oh, well, there's this statue over here that has this thing, you know what I mean? But maybe it just showed up at that moment, and maybe it shows up when it's needed, hops around the cosmos, hops around different alternate realities.
Well, if you remember when we were reading in Egypt, Anubis knew where it was, and he led...
Yeah, and he said it had been there for a long time.
Yeah. So, and then, we had in the first few, well, that was more current Witchblade. You know, somebody had it in their mansion.
So, yeah. I don't know. An ancient tie, it would make more sense to me if it hopped around to where it was needed. That'd be better than it just always happening to be right where it needs to be at the right kind of moment. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
But one thing I will say is, perhaps it came to this world because, as we learned in the Medieval Spawn Witchblade Limited series, that the Witchblade and the darkness are, like, diametrically opposed. That, you know, they're each out to destroy one another. Not to say that Queen Morrigan was wielding the darkness, you know, the actual darkness, quote-unquote, from the, you know, artifact, the darkness, but...
Oh, yeah,
she clearly was ruling this world through darkness. So perhaps the Witchblade was drawn there to oppose that darkness. I mean, once Witchblade and Lady Death put their power together, I mean, Queen Morrigan was, you know, wiped out like that.
Yeah, it was pretty quick. That is an interesting point.
So again, an enjoyable story, mostly for the art.
Yeah, the art was great, as we mentioned before.
The art and the colors, also very well done. So I guess just reading this as, you know, a 90s story and not expecting it to be too much, you know, anytime I hear Lady Death, I immediately think of a comic that's, you know, much more about what it looks like rather than the story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not that I've read that much Lady Death, but that's just the reputation it had in the 90s. It was much more the eye candy thing. So, you know, when I saw Lady Death Medieval Witchblade, I didn't have any expectations whatsoever. So maybe for that reason, I wasn't disappointed. Sure, it could have been something more, but it was enjoyable for what it was. And I don't know how much it brought to the, you know, Witchblade mythos. It may not be until we read up enough to get to more current times that, you know, and we've said that before.
Yeah, we find ourselves saying that after a lot of different story arcs that we read.
Yeah, it may just be not until we get to current times, and then we'll look back on this stuff and it'll just feel like a richer world, make the Witchblade feel more ancient, like it's, you know, been there, done that.
Well, yeah, that's all it is, because, I mean, just look at everything we've read. It's, besides the first few issues, everything's in the past. So, by the time we get to current day, we'll definitely appreciate it a whole lot more.
Yeah, and once again, I mean, we look at this, it's a crossover, between two companies, Brian Peluto's Chaos Comics and Top Cow Productions. So, you know, Brian Peluto's got this Lady Death character, he's putting out the comics. Again, he crosses over with, a comic from Top Cow that's very popular. And, you know, they're both hoping to draw in readers from each other's company, you know. So there is a sales aspect to it, you know, a marketing aspect to why they did this. And, you know, they just probably tried to put out the best comic they could. It's not meant to be groundbreaking or,
I don't think on a crossover comic you're, you know, you can really do too many things that are very important to your character because...
Yeah, you're having people that who are being introduced to it for the first time. You know, it's not like it's a Superman crossing over with Batman kind of thing where, you know, you're familiar with both characters and if you're crossing those two characters over in the same company, it's, you know, for a story, it's story driven most of the time. You know, this is a marketing driven thing because it's, you know, two different companies.
Yeah, because it's not going to happen very often.
Yeah, exactly. So, but like I said, I enjoyed it. And the next comic we're going to cover on the Top Cow Chronology Project is going to be Tales of the Witchblade number 2. It is available on eBay, several copies for as low as, I think I saw a copy for $2.99 on there. So go and snatch it before somebody else does. And once again, Manny and I want to thank you for joining us on the Top Cow Chronology Project. We hope you join us next time for episode 20, where we will be talking about Tales of the Witchblade number 2, as I mentioned. In the meantime, you can like us on Facebook. Just do a search for The Comic Source. That's us. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/TheComicSource. If you'd like to send us an email, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com. Or you can go to our website. There's a contact page there that has all this information, or you can actually send us an email through the website. We'd love to hear from you. Let us know how we're doing. And coming up real soon, we're going to take a break from doing the Top Cow Chronology Project, and we're going to do a State of the Top Cow Universe, where we're going to talk about things that Top Cow has coming up in this current year, coming up this summer, and also going into the 20th anniversary of Witchblade. So we're just going to talk a little bit about the books that are coming out from Top Cow currently. So we'll talk to you then.